Cemre çalışındı.
Ne
olsun? Masa gömüldü.
Ne
olsun?
Ne olsun?
Namo Gurume Namo Minaya Namo Damaya Namo Sangaya Namo Gurume Namo Minaya Namo Damaya Namo Sangaya Namo Gurume Namo
Namo Sangaya
Ma Samanya Me Shira Bharoshi Ma Ye Ma Gai Nam Ge Ma Vanyi So So Ra Re Ye Je Jaya Dane 若罗毗舍三界诸佛依着
僧安居，
悉达多吉诸南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，大悲世尊一般众难听，若罗毗舍三界诸佛依着。
王老师，我现在给大家念的是《涅槃经》卷轴。不知道哪面方向，他们准备上去就公布了，没有真的就做不下去。别他们谁有钱多，他们缺了没得三年，别跟我说你就生气，谁也生没功能，生不了心。
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite.Kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
No, no. That, number like, go on in sin, that, and that, but that, drink by, deep, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then,
I started this teaching on liberation in the palm of your hand, Lamrim, that's the stages of path enlightenment treatise, explaining to you the origin or the source of this teaching.
That day told me that Gunung Jesu the Jehin Jebat Yutaris.
And I explained rather very extensively how to cultivate a proper motivation.
That day, Sung Tsar Jetta, that sources Simon Yavashin, Yanni and Sung Tangris.
As it is.Explained in this Lamrim text, we should personally reflect upon the ways to cultivate proper motivation. Why is there so much emphasis on cultivating proper motivation? Whether we begin a spiritual teaching such as this one, it is not only very important but essential as well to cultivate proper motivation, and then also to do meditation or meditation practice. Again, it's very important, essential for us to cultivate proper motivation. So for those reasons, we find an extensive explanation in this Lamrim text on cultivating proper motivation and different types of motivation.
Mm-hmm.去年的时候呢，去先给个写呀，嗯，去写完了，那原地个是电个原没的，你看了呀，那原地个是电个，就是讲我嘛干那什么事。
And then also, in the beginning, more in the beginning of this Lamrim text, there is explanation of what kind of qualities or qualifications that a spiritual teacher should have.And what kind of qualifications that a student or disciple should have. So we already talked about the qualifications of both a spiritual teacher and a spiritual student.
And
And it has also been emphasized that it's not just enough to engage in anything that is simply called spiritual or dharma. What is really important is for us to find a pure and authentic spirituality or dharma and engage in it. So when we talk about authentic and pure spiritual teaching, of course in this particular case we are talking about Buddha Dharma or Buddha's teaching, and so it has really not so much to do with how famous a speaker or a teacher is and so forth, but it's rather we have to find out the authentic source of our teaching. And in the case of Buddhism, we find authentic source of the teaching in the Shakyamuni Buddha.
And that is the case of Sungashi. And then in Jagata, Sham Jayanta, the Lana Yuludu Yasishi, Tunzuka, and then in Jagata, Pindus, the Tengenke, and then Lana Yuke, very contingent, you know, the Chudin Yamsa Lani, and then to be compound to thinking that and Niki Mambuchi.
The point I'm trying to make here is this, that when it comes to Buddhism or Buddha Dharma, the authenticity and the purity of the teaching has to be established on the basis of a number of things. And first and foremost is that it should have originated with Shakyamuni Buddha, because he is the founding master or the teacher of Buddhism. And then that his teaching has been elucidated and put into practice by many illustrious spiritual teachers, and who gained this high realizations, cultivating Buddha's teaching. And in this regard, we find, countless great masters, both in India and Tibet, that in India, the Buddha's teaching has been passed down also through, Maitreya, or through Manjushri, through great masters such as Arya Nagarjuna, and Arya Deva, and other disciples of Nagarjuna, and so many other great Indian masters. So they put Buddha's teaching into practice, they internalized Buddha's teaching and gained very high realizations. And the same thing happened with many great Tibetan masters.
Lamrim,
which simply means stages of path, and which is a genre in Tibetan Buddhism, presents the complete structure of the path, and also captures, if you will, the essence of Buddha's teachings. And so Lamrim is very unique in the sense that it is a practice guide, and it not only incorporates all the essential points of Buddha's teachings, but also teaches us, if you will, how to put them into practice. As we have seen over and again in the Lamrim, that we need to how should I say, put Lamrim into practice. Categorically stated that in Buddhism we talk about three spiritual goals, or we call the three types of liberation or enlightenment. The Tibetan word that's being used is called Bodhi, which is enlightenment. And the three types of enlightenment are enlightenment of hearers or shravakas, an enlightenment of solitary realizers or Pratika Buddhas, and then enlightenment of bodhisattvas. Now, whichever enlightenment we choose personally as our spiritual destination or goal, by following the Lamrim teaching and the paths provided by the Lamrims and cultivating them, we will be able to actualize any of those goals of enlightenment. In the day two Lamrim teachings, we find it stated, as Geshe-la quoted the stanza, which basically states that Lamrim essentializes Buddha's teachings. It has been highly praised by enlightened beings, and it's the path for the fortunate ones, and so on. So you have the Lamrim text there, and what the exact lines are. I'm just roughly translating here on the spot. And so what does it really mean that Lamrim essentializes Buddha's teachings, or it incorporates the essential points of Buddha's teachings? Is this that based upon Lamrim, that one could cultivate aversion to or renunciation with regard to rebirth in the three bad migrations, and that is related with initial level practice or small scope practice, kibuchung in Tibetan. Based upon Lamrim teaching, one could also renounce samsara or cyclical existence, or cultivate aversion to samsaric existence, and that is related with the practice of intermediate level practitioners or the middle scope practice.
That tanga na yung ane, kasi tamba na yung magpuy lam ane sanju sen rumbuche, sanju sen rumbuche tang ane yung tanda yung show nam chis yung wag yung tata tawas ta tawa de tawa yung ane lam chirin bu tisundo tawa lam ate na ane yung mares sanju sen tang ta kung yung tapi kira tingin ba tayo ta lam rin lam ate na tini
So without relying upon practice guides such as Lamrim, it is rather very difficult, if not impossible, to cultivate those different types of aversion. And without practice guides such as the Lamrim, relying upon it, it would be very difficult, if not at all impossible, to cultivate bodhicitta, bodhisattva's attitude, altruism, and the wisdom realizing emptiness, the ultimate nature of phenomena. And so in that particular stanza we just quoted earlier, the Lamrim is highly praised as, by bodhisattvas or the children of Buddhas. By that, what it really means to say is that Lamrim teaches us how to cultivate bodhicitta and wisdom realizing emptiness. So without relying upon Lamrim, it would be difficult to cultivate those paths.
Yes. And the Sanje Toba last, Sanje Mungpa Toba la, Lanje Zowa Te Sum Jina She Gwes, Shachi She Gwes. Ta Te Sum Se, Lanje Zowa Naba Sumbu Te, Jina She Wala, Tan Lanron Ten Gwes. And the Atina.
The bottom line is this: in order to reach complete enlightened state or to become Buddhas, it is essential to cultivate what is known as the three principal paths: renunciation, nianzhong, bodhicitta, chengzhujisen, and the wisdom realizing emptiness, the view of emptiness, dongyijitawa. So we need to cultivate these three principal paths in order to become a Buddha, and without a practice guide such as the Lamrim, relying upon it, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to cultivate those paths in our mind. So as we talk about the importance of Lamrim, which is the Tibetan term meaning stages of the path or graduated path, we must not confine us simply to, okay, so that means the Lamrim teaching given by great Indian master Adisha, or maybe the Lamrim teaching by Lama Tsongkhapa, and so on. But we also need to really bring to our mind that under this generic term, if you will, Lamrim, stages of the path, we should also be thinking about what Buddha has taught originally, especially what he has taught in what we call the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, Pranjana Paramita Sutras, right? There are the long and the medium and the small versions, short versions of Pranjana Paramita Sutras, Wisdom Gombhir Sutras. As a matter of fact, those teachings of Buddha are the source, if you will, are the source materials of Lamrim.
Kadin ji shebos, ane kawada dembi, ane sheba, sanji ji sardubi, tuba chimbi, tuba chu chulus, the gazin chulus and maimbe, ane kadin ji sheba, sanji ji sardubi shebi, ane tuba chuga, ata tuba kinan yansi gita chul.
Based upon Lamrim, one could understand that one meaning fortunate disciples, Kelden, fortunate disciples could understand that what is, in other words, the spiritual Mahayana system, Mahayana spiritual system, Thapa Chimbi Chulu, what's the spiritual Mahayana system that could lead an individual person to complete enlightened state. So Lamrim provides that kind of understanding.
Well, not the way you choose. Hinda Kimbo Ludu, the Tommy Ninja Lamsers. Nay, Hinda Kimbo Ludu Tommy said, Jaw Rani, Sanji County, the Rani Chil Lung Tembe. Hinda Kimbo Tego, the Hinda dress at the Langa, the Jack Kimbo, the Garcita, Kandi, and the Hinda Ludu, and the Toba Mendo Tayak, Langa, and you were ten nine. Sanji Kamdi soon, the only Ludu the Tommy Pay Hinda Rosak Langa no Shin paying around to and the Hobart to D. Jason, you will lay Havoc Tony,
Based upon Lamrim, we could also again understanding of the system of Buddha's teaching illustrated by the two great pioneers. Of course, the English word literally means charioteers, the ones who runs the chariots. But of course, in English, it doesn't make much sense here. So how does the example work out is, in order for a chariot to really run smoothly, then the road system must be very wide and comfortable. So then the chariot would run really well on that. In that kind of a sense, that the two great pioneers of Buddha's teaching created almost like a metaphorically speaking highway system or a freeway systems. Based upon Buddha's teaching, so that everybody can very smoothly, drive through on it. So based upon Lamrim, we could understand better how the two great pioneers have illustrated the system of Buddha's teachings.
So, that Konyin Buddha, Nambanyi, that Kintakima, Uruza, Tome Nishi, and the Sot Tepe, that Lam Tile, Tene, any. Tiba cimbi kaza, tak tiba cimbi kijun kanda cingi ni, hati ini saji kumpa doya ta, leh habu je tu ni ta, doa tu je kuda ni kedusi, mandusi ta, saji sumbu sumbu pa, sebab si kanan sakti si kubur.
The two great pioneers are Arya Nagarjuna and Arya Asanga, these two great Indian masters, who have very clearly illustrated the system of Buddha's teachings. To the extent that it met is, relatively speaking, easy for practitioners to follow Buddha's teaching and thereby accomplish a complete enlightened state.
That di thola ne pel nyame se pel nyame jo chembo tangs pel nyame jo chembo ta di jo gi pa nya di she jo chembo tang khansu chi jabu chongga ba chimbi lu Tujuh, jauh semua tapi tambah samos. Kau nampak ni ke? Arey, ane nyamai coba je tak? Ane kerja coba cangkap macam mana macam ni? Tujuh, jauh semua tapi, semua nanti perhati, mana tu ni perhati, jadi ke? Hingga dapat. Ya. Ane ingin semua tapi canggih lagi.
Lamrim also is characterized by this unique quality of. The essence of the teachings of great Atisha and Lama Tsongkhapa are provided or captured in Lamrim. So by essence, we mean like nectar-like essence. If nectar is that distilled essence liquid. So in the same way, the essence of Lama Tsongkhapa and Atisha's teachings are captured in Lamrim.
No, no. That thing I'm saying, Sanji Kambi, the Sumbi, Chief Hunger, Jiri Getombo, Jiri Getombo, and Sanji, Liba some Mazet, the Zuga Nate, so Liba some Mazet, and then Chief Hunger, Jiri Getombo, and the Jerjat and so Kazaki Sanjavi, and the Lamjan about to Digney, and then that Lamrin and to stand about this.
So as I said earlier, that Lamrim brings together all the essential points of Buddha's teachings, which could be extensively classified into 84,000 discourses. So the essence of the 84,000 discourses of Buddha are, captured in the Lamrim. Not only it captures the essence of Buddha's teachings, but it presents very uniquely in a way that an individual practitioner can put, Buddha's teachings into practice and realize complete enlightenment.
No, 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 but the question. That's the answer. Lam Jirin Pe, Nyam Ti, Ndu, 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 Chepa Las, Ndu, Kong, this is a Yipong Kaba.
Yes.
Sanju Lam Jirin Pe, Ndu, 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 Ndu
And so with that, the great Tibetan master, Gyabje Pabongwa Dorjesang, the author of Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand, Lamrims, tells his audience that such are the you know, the unique qualities of Lamrim teaching. And now I'm going to give a brief teaching on Lamrim based upon experiences.
Those masons is a lot of nations and Saki or Saki Saki the kitchen is coming. Saki the never said coming.
Lamrim is presented under very structured outlines. You know, there are outlines of Lamrim, so it's very important to follow the outlines as we follow Lamrim teaching.
Saki the kitchen of Karasana. Sakit ngebe gina ti toni ani gom jedi san ta ani me sosi tole yisha jedi san ni sakit lo tol ngebe gina ani sosi tanda te ngel kira ke chim cha dre is.
If we remember Lamrim outlines, that would be of a great help in the sense that when we do meditation on Lamrim, then you know it becomes really easy for us to reflect upon you know, Lamrim teaching. It would be really easy to bring Lamrim teaching into our mind if we have the outlines of Lamrim in our mind. So that will help us to meditate on the Lamrim concepts and understand the meanings of Lamrim.
That's cheap, so see any pay, the gum jizani, cheap chungut and drink the chimbo conditioning into the sun dumping in there. T sagete, never seen T, Tony, any sagete, yani, any the muigiti and the T in any lunch corrente, corrunta, corrunta, what he was.
No, sir. Lamrim deals with three types of practitioners: initial level practitioner, intermediate level practitioner, and advanced level practitioner, or they are simply put as small, middle, and advanced great scope practitioners. And so relating to each practitioner and his or her practice, we find relevant Lamrim outlines. So if we could have those outlines in the mind, then we are able to really bring a particular practice into those outlines, and we will be able to understand what comes first and what next. So there is a really, really neat structure of what to do, what practice first and what follows next.
Kono te nga prasene, ni sakye ndi nanta, mikor ndi yo sambashin.
So when we do meditation, it's really important for us to have this clear structure of what we are going to meditate, right? What should we meditate first, you know? And what are the points related with that particular point? And what's the next key point? And what is related with that point? So we should have that clear structure of the path, you know, to be able to do a good meditation. And Lamrim helps us to do that, organize ideas and the paths, you know, in our mind, and follow them.
Tangyeba, korengyeba, shene, ane sakye ndi nangdo, ta sakye ndi nangdo, mi korin dreche, ta gomjit, mi wan dreche yake, mi wirimbar dreche, yu samba shene, ta tingyeba do, sene kertuba chishe, kres.
So with you know, Lamrim outlines, we should be able to you know, bring all other related points together. We say, okay, that this is a particular you know, outline here I'm dealing with, and there are these other sub points or the related points going with that. And so as we do meditation, we are able to, you know, do a complete, if you will, reflection or meditation
on a particular outline.
We will see later that, for example, I'm just giving an example to illustrate my point, say we are going to meditate on impermanence, mitabha. So now the meditation impermanence is presented under several outlines, and there is what we call the three points, or the three principal points, and each point is supported by three reasons. So we talk about nine reasons. So if we have the three key points is supported by three reasons, so we have those nine, three and nine points, then when we do meditation on impermanence, we'll be able to capture our meditation in those points, and we do a complete meditation on impermanence.
That is Saki, the Tanju Nyeka, Tanju Tanju Nyeka, Tanja, then some. This sentence, that thing, none at that, living room was, then Tawa Jet and Java Jesus, that thing, living quarters.
No,
she did those in a cape, Savia Saki, the living at tea toilet, tea, not tea, non-silica, see me to the living room. That's in this in those in Bogom Jesus and remember drinks and lay out with time quarters.
Let me give another example. If we are going to meditate on precious human life, or human rebirth, we deal with certain key points, you know, such as how difficult it is, how rare and difficult it is to find a precious human life, okay, and how greatly meaningful is such a life. So these are different key points. So under these key points, now when we're dealing with precious human life, then we go through the sub-related points, the related points which are the sub-points, such as the eight freedoms or leisures, dalvajya, the 10 enriching factors or the endowments, you see. So those are related points of this particular meditation topic. So when we meditate on that, so we should be able to have all those things in our mind so that we can reflect on them. So those are just some examples I'm giving to illustrate my point. So it's advised that we should have the lamrim outlines such in our mind, and so when we say lamrim outline, there are the key outlines, and then there are the secondary outlines or the sub points, right? So that when we're dealing with a particular meditation topic, so what are the key points here, lamrim, and what are the sub points, supporting these key points or go with these key points. So it's very important to have those outlines in our minds, so then it becomes a bit easier for us to do meditation on a particular topic. So then also that we try to bring the teachings we have received from our teachers or the lamas, what have they said about this particular point, or key point or the sub point, okay? What kind of scriptural quotations are they quoted to substantiate these points? What are the reasonings, supporting reasons they have provided, with regard to these particular outlines, What are kind of stories they have told us, to illustrate a particular concept or a particular point? So in that way, when we're able to bring together what the Lama has taught, even the stories told to illustrate points, and the reasonings been provided, and the scriptural authority that has been quoted here, provided here, and maybe some of the what we call the pith instructions, meaning that things which are not clearly stated in the text, but based upon the personal experiences, so forth, they give you certain what we call menga, which means pith instructions, And so we will be able to bring, we should be able to bring all of those together as we do meditation, you know, on Lam Rim. So what happens if we don't follow the outlines, or we don't have outlines, Lam Rim outlines in our mind, okay? Whether we listen to teachings or we do meditation. So we just kind of go whatever, you know, happens, any more, right? This is what I remember, I'll go with it, and then, well, this is what I remember. It's kind of a random here, right? I remember this, I'll think about it, I remember that. Or while we mix hodgepodge here, you know, okay, this is all the things coming to my mind here. So what happens if we go like that, you know? And so here in the text it said that if we do like that kind of a random thing in our meditation and listen to teaching without the Lam Rim outlines, then it will be really difficult for us to cultivate, you know, the paths in our mind. It would be really hard for us to get real benefit into our mind. Guru Pema, to be able to get a real benefit in the mind, that would be rather difficult.
Tomba kawa pernas pena chata marta chata pidota chata marta pidota tadi kunzi jina tare chabi so ne so so mapers kala kin lu ne se ne jo chin se ja jan ri ja wo se di tat ne ka san dus jini no za na so so di ye jor ba de lon se ba ina te thong la ji chag mar ba ta tin na chag res.
And the example given here is, of course, a very Tibetan example. You know, if we mix all the things together, then what happens? So this is like, in order to make a Tibetan tea, which is the butter salt tea, milk tea. So if you put all the things in one container, right, you put the butter and then you put the salt on that, you put the milk into that or whatever, all the things, right? So everything's mixed for easy things. So next time you're going to make a Tibetan tea, you just kind of use that, then you're going to ruin the tea. It's not going to come out right. So it will be like that, you know, if we put all different things, you know, mixed together in a container, then, you know, next time when we want to make something, it's not going to come out right,
you know.
So talking about Lam Rim outlines, of course, there are, you know, kind of many Lam Rim outlines relating to a short version of the Lam Rim or the extensive version of the Lam Rim, you know.
Ta ina ta rang rang kang ge ting ni to pe sa ji ye ri xin ni song ge se ta ta lam rim qian bu dan chung de li ma zhong ne. The society that Lamrin the Saki Yunyuji to that Lamrin Yangunda is Tony. Saki Yunyuji Tony, and the Ransen never seen D Tony any Gomdin Yamoya.
So, I mean, we find Lam Rim outlines with regard to the short version Lam Rim, with regard to the long version Lam Rim, and so on. So, maybe sometimes the outlines themselves are very extensive and very hard to remember everything. Okay, so what do we do? And here it is said that, you know, maybe we should try to find a reasonably version, reasonable if you like, you know, a version of Lam Rim outlines, maybe based upon Lam Rim Nyamgur, the experiential Lam Rim, you know, something like that. So that you have all the essential points, but you are really not bogged down by, if you will, too many points here and there, you know, too many, I mean, too much details into outlines.
So you phone call about Lam Rim the number like young cubs, then do some gins on the Dalam, Dark is, Shaggy, Lama Rumbuchi, Shaggy, Nulam Solzons. Dag is, Shaggy Pong of a Lama de Tabo Lama Rumbuchi. Tabo Lama Rumbuchi, so that Kong any Saki, Karag Saki, Yuzunger Senna, Lam Rim, Nulam Matri, your will, Nulam Gany. yona ma tege te sakye de ye zhoni nangyo cha cha de naya tenis yona ma tege sakye de ye zhoni nangyo yis ka na
And here the great author Kyabji Pabungwa Dojichang tells us that the way he is going to teach or present this lamrim called Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand is based upon the outline that his teacher used, his teacher, in this case meaning Dakpo Lama Rinpoche, one of his teachers, and his teacher used a particular lamrim called Lamrim Nyulam Mati. Nyulam literally means quick path. Mati means literally means naked explanation. You know, it's maybe cut to the chase, you know, kind of explanation. And so his teacher, Dakpo Lama Rinpoche, followed that particular Lamrim called quick path, you know, cut through, you know, explanation, outline, and that's how he was going to do this Lamrim.
That thing is Nyulam Mati. Saki de tandang aso pehe yore. Jesa ti ene ti ngol da saki pamu ka ba ke kong ka lamre de magu kong la mati de ba ta lo so ne sung ma do ma do ti saki de ma do ta lamre da se ta bo lamre bo che le ja be ne du ja sol ani ya hu ne ti saki de ma ye to le ko to ba shin ya mu de hu ne de ye ta yor ta sa yor
I think when Dakpo Lama Rinpoche gave the Lamrim teaching, the outlines were not really written down. You know, outlines were in his mind or maybe in the mind of some other people, you know. And then also maybe during the time of Gyabji Pabungwa Dojichang's Lamrim teaching, the outlines were really not written down. But then another master by the name of Jambel Hundru Gyabji requested that, you know, it would be really very beneficial to write down those outlines, you know, for posterity and so forth, and then thus the outlines are written down. Now today we could get the, you see, the quick path, you know, cutting, you know, cut through explanation lamrim outlines, you know, outlines in print. So Geshe-la says that he doesn't think that such outlines are provided in English. You know, if any of you know, you could correct us. So if not, it would be nice if somebody does that.
Show me the sentence here.
They're about 20-some pages, probably, Tibetan page numbers, you know, folios.
Oh, that thing.
Really?
Do it. Yeah.
So he says if it is available, then that's great news, you know. So if we could get ourselves familiarized with those outlines and then follow them, that would be very nice. So if one were to have those outlines in one's mind, then it's really easy to follow the Lamrim teaching because all this Lamrim is presented, you know, based upon those outlines.
Jengking ina sakit lor ina apa? Jengking ina gom jengking ina sakit dalam ina ta sakit di ina dari cuyur dari tek gom dulu ni sini tiang sudah tak kering ina tanjung ni aku tu sama loko dulu sih hari sunsa kiri nak berita tu sih pesi ina ini tu lagi ina tu tak.
So if both teachers and students have such outlines in their mind, then it will be easy to teach and easy to follow the teachings and easy to meditate upon, you know. And if such outlines are available in English and other languages, Geshe-la advises that it would be, you know, very good to to have them and follow them.
Well, that's the thing. Then do any mengatus, to me, Jengi, Sajin, the, who you could have a match on, koi ni ti ji so shi ba dang so de ya la ma ru chi ya shi ge de cha ni sta ya so al ma yi ba shi ni ya ku ni ge de ya cha ni ni ti sa ki ji shu ni ya hu du ya shi shin zhe ba qin bi shu ki de ding ni ye ge ke ban de ji ji de cham xin ji de cham bo ye ka na no
shi zhe ba ru ge shi ya re no shi So this Tibetan master by the name of Jambel Hundru Gyazo, he tells us that he requested
Requesting the Chaji Pong Kabare.
No, no. You know, he maltigendi jambelundu jesu ngolwa.
Ore ta ma gege jambelundu jesu shedi pongwa gege.
Ala nonsons. Ala the great Kyabjan Paboka Rinpoche requested jambelundu jesu, who was his teacher, and he requested, you know, in publicly and personally, he just approached his teacher personally, said, you know, it would be very kind of you if you could, you know, give the permission to write down this the outlines, and that's how he was able to get outlines, you know, in written form.
Today, you get all you know. Translate you get the Russian and kick it. Not only my kids and any translate all rolling a flower in English.
So if that outline is available in English, please bring it here, and you know, you can follow them, and it will be easier. You know, as Keshe explains things, you will find it easier to follow.
Yeah. Actually, an outline of the text in the back of this book, mm-hmm. The Back of Liberation, it has the topics.
Is
that what you mean? Just the topic?
Well, the topic, and the number of lines, and the
shoot,
Kishra says, you know, topics and outlines are not necessarily the same. What do you mean?
The topics and that matabi koring in June course the Mati Yamarva. That and then this Sakid Madu is any.
I think probably you're asking a question that Kishra cannot answer, because in English maybe there is some kind of outlines printed with that thing and Kishra is not using it, so he has no idea which one is that. Because such a shoe, but in June shoe, the game, Lamdim Lao Chan shoe there. Now, is that the same outlines as Anala you were thinking about?
No.
What is going there?
But whose outline is that?
It's the outline of this whole book, it seems to be. The preliminaries.
Oh, there's
no.
No, is this like a traditional outline, or the, you know, the translator of this text, you know, made an outline based on the Lamri? What is it? Well, somebody has. Outline of the text.
No, Sajje in the outline. Could you say outline is in
the Hindu
quarters?
Mali, this Sajje is racist again. Sajje in New Lamadi is Sajje I. In a number of Lajang, Sajje is teacher.
Oh, yeah. And then you check this one, okay?
Yeah. Because, you know, if it says it is the outline of the liberation in the palm of your hand, right?
Oh, yeah.
Does it say that?
Okay.
Of the text.
Yeah, okay. Well, then that's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Ina di nyulam mati di cepat ini malu kan? Ina.
Di dalam nangis tiga tadi.
Berapa? Di nalar saja sihir
berapa? Mari nyulam mati sakit nangis di tiga.
Ada mons.
Tapi curang tu yang aku tahu sih, kan?
Mons. Well, if the Kesar says, and because Kesar Papang kata saja, saya taught this lamrim based upon the outlines of nyulam mati, quick death, you know, cut through explanation lamrim. So maybe those outlines are probable with that, you know, if, you know, so if that's the case, you know, you should follow those outlines. Well, you know, if I ask, you know, which outline we are talking about now, so you should be able to answer back, you know, this is it, you know, whatever
that. I don't think it has main headings.
I don't think it has main headings. It's going by the days. Oh, I see. So if it has the kind of outlines, like for example, we gave one of the examples about meditation impermanence, right? It has three key points or the root principles and the nine reasons. That kind of outline is there, then, you know,
that's what we need.
Follow them. That's the kind of outlines we need here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there could be like a topic presentation, right? For example, like, you know, first we talk about a precious human life, and then impermanence, you know, and then the suffering of the bad micro somebody. But those are not what we really call Sakye. A Sakye here outline that we are using it. Those are like topics Sakye presented.
Division. Divisions.
Yes.
Divisions, subdivisions. That's kind of this there?
Yes. Headings and section headings.
Okay.
Or subheadings.
Okay. That's good. Now,
okay, so if that's, you know, seems like topics and outlines together or something, you know, you could follow them, just follow them. You know. Okay, so Geshe-la is going to follow his text, and maybe then we'll find there is a meeting ground, and maybe that's what exactly it is, you know.
Well, for instance, this text starts with the greatness of the author. This outline only starts right now
with
the
same verse.
That's
all.
It doesn't happen.
I think that will come.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go through the text. So when we do meditation, there are different ways to emphasize, you know, certain points of experiences, you know. In terms of presenting teachings, presentation, if you like, we talk about the major styles of presentation. One is that of Nalanda style presentation, according to the Nalanda masters of the scholars, and other is the style of Vikramshila Monastic University scholars. Okay, so now maybe perhaps you could check what outlines you have here. According to Nalanda master scholars style of presentation, they talk about three points here. One is they say the first key thing is that I'm literally translating here. It may be translated differently, but we should be able to follow that, come to the same point. It's the pure speech of the masters. So what does it say there?
That is in the
book.
Okay. So according to Nalanda style, there are three things they emphasize: the pure speech of the teacher or the master. And excuse me, I haven't finished the.
It says this book is following the second tradition.
Okay.
By Vikramshila.
Oh, it says, "Kunci Vikramshila teaching kasa
luka teaching lagu tu sa."
Okay, so as I was explaining to you, there are two different styles of presentation, and the one right now I'm saying is the Nalanda style of presentation. It emphasizes three key points. One, the first one is the pure speech of the teacher, literally translating here. Of course, when Geshe-la explains it, then we will have better understanding, right? So don't make me teach here. I'm just translating. And you may find it a little difficult, just have to be patient. And the second point is the pure mind of disciples or students. Okay? And the third point is a pure teaching. So they talk about three purities, if you will. So what is involved in the pure speech of master or the teacher is that the teacher who teaches should have pure motivation, okay, and should teach correctly. You know, should not, mess up in the teachings.
And
And what is involved in the pure mind of students or disciples is, of course, disciples or students should have pure motivation, which means that their motivation should not have anything to do with eight worldly concerns or attitudes, eight worldly dharmas, as we talk about. And also, there's more to that, that they should be an unbiased, the way they approach or listen to teaching. Lo Suvarnava means unbiased. And they should be intelligent to be able to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. And really enthusiastic or enthusiastically interested in the teaching, right? So not to be lazy, as Kishila said it. So pure speech of teachers includes pure motivation of the teacher, and the teacher should teach it authentically, you know, not mix up the stuff in the teachings. And pure mind of disciples or students include pure motivation of disciples, and that the disciples should be unbiased in their attitude or approach. They should be intelligent to be able to differentiate between what's right and wrong, and they should be enthusiastically interested in the teaching. Now, additionally, you know, the teaching also has to be pure. So we talk about pure teaching also. So also in the, with the, you know, included in the pure mind of disciples includes, remember that how we need to be free from the three, what is called, metaphorically called, the three folds of a container, right? My first footnote, not to be like upside down pot and so on, right? And have the six types of what we call recognitions. So according to the Nalanda Buddhist masters, their style of presentation emphasizes those three purities. You know, pure speech of teacher, pure mind of disciples, and pure teaching. So according to Vikramshila Buddhist masters and their style of presentation, they emphasize different points. They would talk about the qualifications of the author, you know. And you know, features or the characteristics of teaching. And then the third point is how to teach and listen to the teaching, which is characterized by the first two points. Okay? So it means the qualifications of an author and the characteristics or the qualities of the teaching itself. So what is included in the qualifications or the qualities of authors, it has to be read authors, like a plural sense. It's impossible this time, so one needs to start with the qualities of Shakyamuni Buddha, right, the founding teacher, and then the qualities of lineage masters, you know, through whom the teaching has been transmitted or passed down to us. So all the way to one's what we call the root guru, right? From Shakyamuni Buddha down to one's root guru, you see, we, one has to talk about the qualities of all these masters.
So
So in this Lamrim, the way this particular point, the qualities of others have been approached is, it first talks about the qualities of great Adisha, because Adisha was the first author of Lamrim, right? What Adisha did was he brought together the essential points of Buddha's teachings from sutras and tantras, and he, if you will, wrote the first Lamrim text. You know, so we first talk about the qualities of Adisha.
Oh no, that choice chavajus and choice and lamsrim be any. Any that chavajus.
And then the qualities of the teaching itself means that we talk about what are the unique features or the characteristics of the lamsrim itself, the lamsrim teaching itself.
And that any that makyan yongus chavajidin chavajidin tsujores.
Nice. So when we talk about the unique features or the characteristics of the Lamrim, we talk about four different features. Over those things will come later on.
Yeah.
And then the third point is how to teach and how to listen to the Lamrim teaching with those qualities, right? Now this should be more in common with, as we were talking about, what are the qualities a teacher should have and what are the qualities that a disciple or student should have and so on. So as you know, one of you said, read there, that of these two you know, styles of presentation, Nalanda's style of presentation of teaching and Vikramshila's style of presentation of teaching, in this case, the author says he's going to follow the Vikramshila style of presentation. Now I think we are going to begin with you know, outlines or sacce in Tibetan, and there are four key points or four major outlines. So those four key points we call sacce outlines would include you know, all other points. So this the thick Lamrim book is actually captured. It's presented in under four key you know, points. So you know, if these outlines or the key points are in the you know your Lamrim translation text, you should follow them. Okay. Yeah. So the first key point, major outline is, you know, explaining the qualities of authors in order to indicate authenticity of the teaching itself. So how is it translated? Can somebody read it back to me?
Yeah, would you like to read it? Eh?
So that people know which one, yeah. You know, because I might translate it differently.
The greatness of the authors given to show that teaching has an immaculate source.
Good. Okay.
Immaculate source. What is immaculate source?
Immaculate source. Immaculate source. Immaculate
clean.
So it's the authenticity of the teaching
we're talking about. Okay.
So in your translation, it says the greatness of the authors given to show the teaching has an immaculate source, as I translated, in order to show the authenticity of the teaching. That means teaching is not the BS, you know, it's authentic. So we talk about the great qualities of authors.
Nice.
And then we talk about or about the qualities of the teaching itself in order to develop respect for the teaching. That's the second main point or the key point. So developing respect and faith in the teaching is very important in order for us to really receive the blessings of the Buddha's teaching. So we need to cultivate respect for the teaching and to have faith in the teaching. I know you read a lot of books, people in the West like to read and read, which is good, but we cannot bring the same kind of attitude here, reading novels or reading some kind of Western literatures here, you know. So, because the thing is that the kind of teaching we are dealing with is, the method with which we can uproot the very source of the suffering that we don't want. Okay, so we're dealing with spirituality and the method with which we can cut off the very root of the suffering and get into suffering for good. So we cannot adopt the same attitude as reading literature books or any regular books we read. So somewhere were to give us these two choices, would you rather have the whole world filled with all kinds of precious jewels and gems, or you would have few words of precious Dharma teaching? So we should have really choose this letter, have respect in few words of precious teachings rather than a world filled with stones. Jesus didn't say stones, but when we look at the life stories of Shakyamuni Buddha, in many of his previous lifetimes, he sacrificed even his own lives, his body, his flesh and bones, for the sake of receiving a short teaching, a few words of teaching or a few stanzas of teaching. So I think I would like to tell you a story here. Long time ago, there was a king by the name of Kangra, and he was used to eating human flesh. But he had a reason why he relished the human flesh. So the king Kangra, he cultivated a Brahmin, a priest, as his teacher. And of course, the chef in the palace kitchen, you know, needed to cook every day for the king, right? So the king must be a big meat eater, so he was always making a lot of meat dishes. But one day he couldn't find meat, okay, at all. So then the cook, what he did was he just went and, you know, somehow he found, you know, he brought a piece of flesh from a dead boy, and he just cooked it for the king.
That dance the yiti kharse ma the mara in chane that the ko kharse dance le the any the ni ni yawo chen mun da dance the pu ne dance me ba po ne che me che sa ye ne ta te an ta je bu che me che sa re chu ba ji yo ma chos me ba po ne che ta kha ran pe me che sang cha ba ta ga yo.
So when the king, the chef cooked that human flesh for the king, and then it was also offered to the Brahmin. Okay, so Brahmin got really upset, you know, that he was offered meat and here the human flesh, you know. And so the Brahmins, you know, are very famously known for what we call invoking the power of truth. You know, they will say that by the power of the truth, you know, so and so things happen to you. You know, worst of the things, it could happen. That was the belief, right? So here the Brahmin got so mad with the meat, and he said, you know, by the power of invoking the truth, you know, you always eat, you know, human flesh. You know, that's what I will call upon, right? The power of the truth. And that's how this king become a human flesh eater.
And then, Jabuti, that Jabuti Nimati Krasiva, this year, that kind of thing. Jabuti Tamaki Sangi Chasun.
No.
Since any me, Nani, I could Jabu say it in the same way that the Zupi.
So because of that kind of Brahmin's wish, this king kind of became a human flesh eater, and he became very fond of it. You know, he liked it very much, especially the human flesh of the higher caste, if you will, the prince and princess. You know, he would just love to eat them.
So that time.
So this king Kaundra later became so fond of eating human flesh that he became a cannibal, and he basically had to live in the wilderness, you know, because he needed to hunt, you know, for humans to eat. And so one day he caught this other, prince by the name of Jeset Dawa, Chandra, by the name of Chandra or Moon.
So that ya ke the science and that jebu ten to say that same as mambuji sa shin de yurta.
So the king Kantra brought this prince Chandra with him, and then the prince saw that there were other prince and princess, you know, kind of stored up there to be eaten, right? So he got the whole collection there. And so he felt really kind of sad, and the prince Chandra had these tears rolling down his cheek, but he wasn't really afraid at all of this cannibalistic king. And then the king asked him, "You are really strange. You know, everybody else is so scared of me, but you are really not afraid. But why do you shed tears? You know, what's the reason?" And then the prince Chandra said, "You know what? I didn't have an opportunity to make an offering to my teacher, a Brahmin, for giving me some short teachings. You know, so that's why I lost I didn't have the opportunity, and so that's why I feel sad."
And then
So then the cannibalistic king said, you know, that's no big deal, you know, I'll let you go do that. Just go and, you know, come back. Just go and make your offering to your teacher and come back. That's all right. Because the king was thinking that, you know, he couldn't escape from me, you know, where can he go else? So I'll let him go and I'll catch him, you know, if he's trying to escape. So the Prince Chandra was able to go back and make the offering or the gift offering to his teacher, Brahman, and then he came back very happily. He returned to the king. So the king was kind of rather surprised by this prince coming back. He thought, well, everybody else will take the chance to run away, you know, what the hell is this doing, you know? He just came back, so it's kind of strange, and, you know, he was kind of a little like, you know, he had this, you know, sense of wonder, why is this, you know, he's coming back to me. So the prince said, now I'm just, you know, very happy, and I got to do what I needed to do, you know, the last thing, and now you can just eat me up, you know, happily. That's fine with me. Okay. So the king said, don't rush me, you know, I'm going to eat you slowly and, you know, happily. So the king, you know, was surprised that the Prince Chandra came back, and then he wanted to ask him, you know, why did you really go back to make an offering to that teacher? What kind of things did you learn from him? You know, could you tell me that? You know, why was that so important that you were so unhappy because you couldn't make an offering to your teacher for whatever teaching you got? So what did you really learn from him? Could you tell me? So the Prince Chandra said, you know, forget it, you know, you are a cannibalistic, you know, evil, you know, being, and you do not deserve, you know, to share my teaching, and so forget it, you know, I'm not going to do that. Because in order to teach you, you see, the thing you have to do is the one who is making the, you know, request here, you need to set a proper seat for the teacher, then you have to really respectfully listen to him. You are not going to do that, you know, you don't have any respect to me, and so forget that, you know, we cannot do this one. So, you know, for some, you know, reason that that kind of a conversation between them, you know, sparked or activated some good karma in this the king's mind, and somehow the king, you know, became kind of very subdued, and, you know, he just, you know, took off some of his blood-stained, you know, clothes and put it more like a cushion there, seat, and then he asked him to sit on that and then give him, you know, share his teaching. So actually it was around that time, I think, when the the king's priest Brahman, he invoked the power of the truth and cursed him, right? I mean, that's the only way to say. He said, for the next 12 years, you will be eating nothing but human flesh, That's what I demand, by the power of the truth. And that's what happened. But around that time when he met the Prince Chandra, he almost finished the 12 years, So that's why some good karma in the king got activated. And so he was able to listen for the first time some teaching from Prince Chandra. So the point of this whole story is, as we listen to teaching, should do so, respectfully, because the holy teaching, the precious teaching, deserves our respect. Our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, when he gave a teaching on wisdom gone beyond, or perfection of wisdom, on the Walters Peak, Gridkuti, in India, he set a throne for himself, or seat for himself, in order to do that. To respect his teaching, he raised a seat for himself, and then he gave the Panchana Paramita teaching. So when we attend teachings, so we always have our teachers on a higher seat than us at least. We are taking the lower position to indicate our respect for the teacher and the teaching. I think that story I told you about the cannibalistic king Kangda is in the Great Lamrim text. So now the great Lamrim Lama Tsongkhapa is out in English, so you could refer to that. And then the third key point, now I lost my pages here, and I was trying to find an easy way to look at the outlines.
What is yours?
Okay, so I will say something. Somebody who's following it, probably you can read what is in that so people can follow you. The third key point is how to teach and listen to the teaching, Lamrim teaching, that is characterized by the preceding two qualities. In other words, the qualities of the authors of the Lamrim and the qualities of the teaching itself. Okay, so what do you have there?
Same, okay.
Tā yīpa tī, dāmbā ngōyī chū nāma chī tā chī rīmbā sī tā, dāmbā ngōyī chī sī tā, ngūni tū nī, dāngā ngōyī kī nī, nāma sāngjī sālā chī tā chī rīmbā sī tā tī kā nā yī rī sī.
And then the fourth key or the main point is, how to actually guide the students into the teaching or the path that leads to complete enlightened state. So those are the four, what we call the key outlines of the major points of Lamrim.
That's Saki Yindu Wa Tandan De Saki Yindu Wa Saki Yindu Wa Lamrim Chimi Saki Res Lamrim Chimi Gunna Saki Yindu Wa Res.
So those four key points or the key major outlines are taken from Jerenbuche or Lama Tsongkhapa's great Lamrim text.
That Delam to Nyulam Se Ta Lamrim Delam to Nyulam Yorwa Tani Ande Tani Lamrim Gyele Ani Jidu Ta Ani Mantrava Mato Yin.
And when we look at other Lamrim, such as the Lamrim called the convenient path, Telam, our Lamrim called the quick path, Nyulam, they may have different versions of the outlines. Maybe some are more elaborate and some are more condensed, but pretty much they adapted, I should say, these outlines and and then, you know, adapt it in a more sort of extensive or a short form.
Yes.
So whenever a Lamrim teaching begins or begins, right in the upfront, the teacher would lay out these four key points of the Lamrim, the four major outlines of the Lamrim, we just dealt with. So now we have we're at the beginning of the Lamrim here, and so I would advise you to memorize these major outlines in your mind in my absence, because I'm going to go to Colorado to teach for Sunday weekend, right? So when I come back, I would like to have you have all these four major outlines at least memorized, should be on top of your mind. Presenting the qualities of authors in order to show the authenticity of the teaching. Presenting the qualities of the teaching itself in order to cultivate respect for the teaching. How to teach and listen to the teaching that is characterized by the first two sets of the qualities. And how to actually guide the students into the teaching. So those are the four, root or the key Lamrim outlines. So in order to develop respect for the authors, we will first talk about the qualities of the authors. So in the authors, first, as I mentioned before, that we will be talking a little bit about the qualities of great Atisha. So when we talk about qualities of great Atisha, so we will classify that into two sub-points, qualities of Atisha while he was in India, and the qualities of Atisha when he was in Tibet. So we will have main points, and then some of the main points will have sub points, and so we will follow the outlines that way. So at the minimum, at least I think everybody should have the four those key or the major outlines of Lamrim in our minds. So as we go through the Lamrim and explain different points, I'm going to often refer back to the main points. So we will stop there today, and this evening has been easy for me because the translator is in town.
Okay.
So we should always keep in our mind or remind ourselves that our purpose of listening to teaching is to be able to understand what the teaching is, and the purpose of that is to put it into practice, to meditate on it.
Yes.
And there are different ways to explain things. We talked about four of them. Do you remember that there is what we called shiti, which literally means explanatory presentation. So or explication, it could be, just Siddhi. And then there's a Dzogchi, which literally means kind of finger-pointing way of, you know, presentation. So you're literally led by the fingers, you know. And then there is the explanation based upon experiences, both teacher and students, you know, they try to reflect on the teachings and, you know, get certain experiences, you know. So that's more like what we call experiential explanation or, you know, nyamchi. So there is the nyamchi, which means the explanation based on the experiences. Then there is the nyongchi, which means that the way teacher would do is will explain a little bit, and then we'll have students reflect on it until they gain certain experience in that particular teaching, right? And then we'll move on to the next one, explain that, and then meditate on that and gain certain experience in that. So that's another way of doing explanation. So nyongti means that not only the teacher's intention is to give you the understanding of the teaching, but also give you certain experiences into the teachings, right? So teacher would teach certain thing and then pause and then maybe have you reflect on that, gain certain experience, and then explain the next one and, you know, go on like that. So we will stop there this evening, and let's dedicate our marriage for the flourishing of Dharma throughout the universe, for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great masters. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly. So we can save our prostrations for Geshe-la's safe return.
Okay, very good. Please, thank you.
Geshe-la will be back on Monday, so he says see you next Wednesday.
Teaching Sunday teaching by Ananda. It's okay. That's good. Good. Nice and easy.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's good.